Baie geluk.
Good morning, everybody. Anybody here for the first time? Welcome, welcome, welcome. For the last couple of weeks, I have been speaking to you about the Holy Spirit, about the anointing. Last week, we spoke about the fact that when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you should not look at it as, I have now received everything that I'm ever going to receive, and I must make peace with that, because there is more. I sound a little bit like one of those advertisements on television, but wait, there's more. But I want to tell you, there is more, because the fact of the matter is, the Spirit of God is poured out, not once, not twice, as often as God feels like blessing you. And one thing we must understand, when you get ready for a long journey, you put petrol, at some point in time it's going to run out. You have to put a bit more on your journey. You have to be refreshed. On your journey, you know, if we think about water, how long can you run without water? Please tell me. I think they say 3 days, something like 3 days. Now, if my body could only run without water for 3 days, then I can't expect to run without the Holy Spirit for the rest of my life, because I was baptized in 1965 in the Holy Spirit. That's why something is missing from your life, if that is your point of view. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, there is an initial infilling of the Holy Spirit that is often characterized by speaking in tongues, but that is by no means the final time that you can be filled with the Spirit of God. I showed you last week that the disciples were filled on different occasions with the Holy Spirit, and we need it. So, speaking about the Holy Spirit, today I want to just touch on who the Holy Spirit is. The first thing that is important, we must understand that the Holy Spirit is God. Listen to that. The Holy Spirit is God. Some people treat the Holy Spirit as an impersonal force. You know, some people are like, ooh, check, 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 I got goosebumps. Okay. The Holy Spirit is more than goosebumps. Hello? The Holy Spirit is more than like a grill running down your back. Or like, I have a hot feeling. I think I'm getting a hot flush or something. The Holy Spirit is a person, but He's God. Let's look at that. Acts chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to man, but you have lied to God. Now listen to that. First he says to him, you lied to the Holy Spirit. Then he says, you lied to God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is God. When we lie to the Holy Spirit, we might as well lie to God, because they are one and the same. The Holy Spirit is not some weird impersonal force or a power or some weird energy. Listen to me. We're not in the New Age yet. We're in the Kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. He's not some vibe. He's not some energy. He's not just some power. He's not a force. He's the Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit is portrayed to us through the Scriptures as a person. And just like a person, the Holy Spirit has got feelings. Raise your hands if you don't have feelings. If you've gone to that point, your medication is too strong. Come to me for prayer. We can sort that out. But the fact is, we all have feelings, because it is one of the characteristics of me being and you being a person. Now, the Holy Spirit is no different. Let me show you a couple of those feelings. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. The Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Is grief an emotion? When do you feel grief? When something really bad has happened and it has impacted you in a negative way, we begin to feel grief. Okay? We feel grief when somebody's been in a car accident. Sometimes we might feel grief when somebody's lost a loved one, or somebody's lost their job, or a relationship has come to an end. We feel grief. It is a heaviness that comes into your spirit. It's something that we feel. The Holy Spirit has exactly the same feelings that we do. Ephesians 4 verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Just a quick thing that I think is very important for us to take into account. It is possible for us to grieve the Holy Spirit. In other words, it is possible that there can be certain things that you and I can be doing in our life that is going to bring about grief in the Holy Spirit. Now, that is not conducive to your life going forward. When you do the kind of things that brings grief into the Holy Spirit will begin to withdraw from you. Why is that a problem? Because the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of life. He's called the living water for a reason, because where he comes, he brings life. When you have things in your life that grieve the Holy Spirit will begin to distance himself from you. The things in your life that brings grief to him is going to bring a separation between you and the Spirit of God. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed this message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. That's another characteristic and a feeling, an emotion that the Holy Spirit brings about. He brings about joy. Hello? How many of you believe that you need a bit more joy in your life? Well, we've come to that time of the year when all of us need a bit of joy in our life, because how many of you know this has been a very long year? It's been a very, very challenging year, a very difficult year. Now, joy is something that lifts your spirit. You know, just now we spoke about grief. Grief is likened to heaviness, okay? It's not a nice feeling. It's like an oppressive feeling. Now, joy is something that can cut right through that instantly. Why? Because joy begins in your heart, but it affects your entire being. It's like certain things make you go dark, other things make you brighten up and shine. The Holy Spirit is well able and capable of joy. Firstly, he experiences joy, but secondly, he also manifests that joy through us. The other day I was talking, I can't remember if it was in the sermon or afterwards when we were praying, but I shared with you that I have on a number of occasions experienced it when the Spirit of joy has moved through the church. I haven't seen that in quite a long time, but every time I have experienced it, it has blessed me profoundly. The one time I began to experience joy to the point that the following 2 days I could hardly breathe because my stomach muscles were sore from laughing. I have often heard people say that that is demonic, that that is of the devil. Explain to me how the joy of the Holy Spirit, which is written and catalogued in the Word of God, is something that the devil wants to bring into your life. I want to tell you something. The devil wants you to sit in the corner there and say, oh me, oh my, I want to die. The devil does not want to give you joy. The devil wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to rob you of your peace. He wants to rob you of your sanity. The devil has no interest in giving you joy. Joy, when it is true joy, comes from God. I'm not talking about a mocking spirit sitting in the church laughing at everything and mocking everything that God does. There is a difference. But when the Spirit of God moves through a church, many times people feel joy. I've seen many people that have been in a very dark place for a long time, and the Holy Spirit has come upon them, and joy began to bubble inside of them. And afterwards, they are no longer in that dark place. Sometimes we judge what we do not know, and we must be very, very careful. Because we're talking about the Holy Spirit, I want to touch on something that I think is very important. The Bible makes it very clear that there is only one sin that will never be forgiven mankind. And that sin is to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Now, that is a very dangerous thing for us to do, because it would seem to me that when we venture onto that place, when we blaspheme against the Holy Spirit will completely withdraw himself from your life. And I want to tell you this, without the Holy Spirit, you're going to go nowhere. Without the Holy Spirit, your life is over. Because without the Holy Spirit, you can't resist the devil. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't overcome sin. Without the Holy Spirit, you are no longer useful to God. Without the Holy Spirit, you simply exist, but you have no life. Many times, people make themselves guilty of judging what they see happen in the church or in somebody's life when they don't even know or understand the scriptures. The church is full of devils. Yes, you're right. There's plenty of them. The devil does like to go to church, contrary to popular belief. The devil has to go and sit in church to hear what's being preached and to see what's happening there because it might just be a problem for him. He likes to go into the church because he wants to bring division. He wants to go into the church because he wants to cause doubt. He wants to go into the church because he wants to rob us of the truth. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. But if the devil can rob you of that truth, you will never be free. He wants you to question everything, doubt and unbelief. The devil is very busy. But some people go so far as to believe that whenever they see something supernatural happen in the church, it must be the devil. For goodness sake, read your Bible. God is the God of the supernatural. I serve a supernatural God. Under His power, you walk on water. Or if you don't feel like walking on water, you somehow go straight through. Amen? God does amazing things. If He did it back then, what makes you think He can't do it now? Has God suddenly become impotent? No, He hasn't. God still does miracles. People still get healed. People still get delivered. People still get saved. People still experience miracles today. And if people don't experience it, it's not because God's not willing to give it. It's because faith is very, very few and far in between today. People today have faith in everything but God. And now there's your problem. So the thing is, the Bible warns us, do not blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Many times when you are in a church and something supernatural happens, you see the religious spirits all go to one another. Oh, this is not God. Oh, this cannot be from God. Oh, God will never do it this way. God won't do it. How do you know? Did you have a meeting with Him? Did He tell you that? No, He didn't. In fact, most of the things that people complain about is in the Bible. We just have selective reading. When we don't understand it, skip a bit, skip a bit, skip a bit, skip a bit. Oh, okay, this makes sense again. The supernatural part of God might not make sense to you, but it's necessary. It's who God is. When the spirit of joy moves, people begin to laugh, yes. To some people, it's disrespectful because how dare they laugh in the church? Well, I want to tell you something. I don't want to go to a church where Mr. and Mrs. Sirprime greet you that way and they never have a smile on their face. Some churches need to look in the mirror and then they will understand why they got nobody sitting there. You know, the Holy Spirit does bring joy. People should experience the joy of God more. The Holy Spirit is capable of joy. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed this message with the joy that was given by the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you something. We all need a bit more joy. And the Bible says it will be given by the Holy Spirit. You begin to ask the Holy Spirit to give you joy. And then when you roll around on the floor for the next half an hour laughing, don't come and blame me. Okay. Probably God just thinks it's time for me to answer some prayer. Amen. Judges 14 verse 19. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. He went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of their belongings and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle. Burning with anger, he went up to his father's house. Anger is an emotion. Anger is one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Let's get one thing straight. Even though God can give us a lot of joy, sometimes when you keep stepping on God's toes, you're going to find see a side of God that you might not like, but it's necessary. Many times in the Bible, we read that the Spirit of the Lord came upon an individual and they burned with anger. Jesus walked into the church, the synagogue, and they had turned it into a marketplace. What was his feeling about that? The Spirit of the Lord was upon him and he burned with anger. The Bible says there was a time when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul because of what some clan somewhere around there had done. I think they had threatened to stab out all the Israelites' eyes and make them their slaves. And the Spirit of God came upon him and he burned with anger. And he said, any Israelite that is not with me will be put to death. Today we fight. That was the Spirit of the Lord. God said, today we fight. Today is a day to be angry because this is injustice. The Holy Spirit can't always be happy, happy, happy. Sometimes there's things that he doesn't like, and then he's going to be angry. Samson gave the Philistines a riddle that needed to be solved. They threatened his future wife to kill her family if she doesn't give them the answer. When the answer was finally given, the Holy Spirit burned with anger. Sometimes the Holy Spirit gets angry. Make sure that you're not the one making him angry, then I think you're going to be okay. And sometimes when demons are taking a chance in the church, the Holy Spirit will get angry. I have often seen the Holy Spirit get angry when demons and evil spirits take a chance. Why? Because that is the only acceptable response. Amen. The Holy Spirit knows everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. Now the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Right now, the Holy Spirit knows what's going on in your heart. He knows what's going on in your life. And He knows what God feels pertaining to you, your life, your family, and your relationships. Right now, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what the devil's busy with. How do you stay one step ahead of the devil? You need the Spirit of God in your life, because the Spirit of God, who knows the thoughts of God, also knows the thoughts of Satan. You see, Satan is a creative being. He will always be beneath his creator. Even though he wants the world to know how big and strong and powerful he is, he can never claim to be all powerful, because God has that honor. God has that distinction. God created him. God knows what makes him tick. God knows what makes him work. And God knows what his plans are for your life. How do you make sure that none of his plans succeed? You make sure the Spirit of God is on your side. When the Holy Spirit is your guide, He can see the loopholes. He can see the craters. He can see the pits that the devil has dug for you. He'll take you around it. And even if now and then, sometimes through our own stupidity, we fall into that pit, He's the one that's going to help us out. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. The Bible says the Holy Spirit has access to the thoughts or the knowledge of God. Would you like to be a blessing unto God? Would you like for your life to honor God? Well, without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to know what God has planned for your life. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. The more the Holy Spirit has place in your life, the more the Holy Spirit is going to begin to reveal to you what God thinks about you, what God knows about your future. Take into account that right now, every one of you has a godly future. That doesn't mean every one of you is going to fulfill your godly future, because it is behind the veil. Your future is plain, and your future is visible in the spirit realm to God and the angels sent to help you. But for your mind, it is closed off. Your mind cannot see it. You need the Spirit of God to come into your life to slowly but surely begin to reveal you and guide you down that path. If the Holy Spirit doesn't feel welcome in your life, if the Holy Spirit is not an integral part of your life, nothing is going to make you find the path. In fact, you will more often than not be off the path. Why is that a problem? I'll tell you why. You know, we live in Africa. And in Africa, we got something called the Bushveld, die Bosveld. When was the last time any of you ever went tromping around in the Bushveld? Okay, this is the new South Africa. Most of us, we don't go outside of the four walls of our house and our office and the shopping center where we shop. But when you go about 2 hours drive up here towards the north, you're going to encounter something called the Bushveld. It's very dense. There's vegetation everywhere. And there's a lot of funny things. Let's call them creepy crawlies. We've got scorpions. We don't have the Mickey Mouse variety. Yeah, we got the real deal thing. That thing stings you, you're gone. We got serpents here. Some of the most dangerous snakes in the world are found here. When you walk on the path, you can at least see where you're going. When there's wrinkles lying there, you can see it and you can make sure that you give it a wide berth. Or when there's a huge big scorpion just waiting to go for you, you can either crush its head or you can take a, you know, go around it. But when you can't see where you're going, you don't know what you're stepping on. Speak to somebody who stepped on a puff adder and let him tell you whether it was fun and games. What am I trying to tell you? It's better to be on the path than to be somewhere in the bush. When the Holy Spirit is not leading and guiding you, you're not on the path, you're somewhere in the bush. What you're going to step on next is not going to be good. And then there's this wonderful, I don't want to call it a South African invention because God's the one that created it, but it's called the kameeldoring. Have you ever seen a kameeldoring? Okay, for those who don't speak Afrikaans, I don't know what the English word would be, but it's like a camel thorn. The fact that camel comes before thorn tells you this thing must be very big. It's like, and what? Acacia thorn. Okay, I'm going to have to take your word for that. It's those big, long, white thorns. Have you seen the big ones? You know the big pens that we get, that yellow big pen? It can be twice the size of a big pen. How far are you going to get when you stepped in one of those? I'm going to tell you something. You're going to go nowhere. It's best to be on the road where you could see where you're going. But you can't be on the road if the Holy Spirit's not in your life. Why? Because He's our guide. He's the one that wants to take you by the hand and lead you where God wants to take you. He's the one that you need in your life every single day. He's the one that you need to cultivate a relationship with. Let's go on. The Holy Spirit, because He knows the knowledge of God, He knows the thoughts of God, He has access to the wisdom of God, He knows about your life. He knows about your future. He knows what the day of tomorrow holds, and He knows what the devil is planning for you. You need Him in your life. The Holy Spirit speaks. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and they were fasting, the Holy Spirit said, listen to that, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. How did the Holy Spirit know at that moment that they were called? Because He has access to the thoughts of God. Was it God speaking? No, it was the Holy Spirit speaking at that moment, even though He is God. The Holy Spirit was present when a group of believers were praying. Now the question would be, how did the Holy Spirit speak? I wasn't there. I can't answer it, but it could have come through a prophecy. It could have come simply through somebody saying, this is what I believe God has put on my heart. I don't know. But the fact is, the Bible tells us when the words were spoken, it was the Holy Spirit speaking. The Holy Spirit speaks through people. But the Holy Spirit will speak through people that have given Him the place to be in their lives, to be used as vessels. Amen? So at that moment, the Holy Spirit gave a revelation. The revelation was, these two are called by God to work full time. Take them, put them one side, and let them be prepared for the journey that they are about to undertake. You ever wondered where you need to go in your life? The Holy Spirit needs to be present because sometimes He has something to say. The Holy Spirit can speak to you about your life. He can speak to you through a prophetic word about your future. The Holy Spirit can give your life direction, and He can warn you of impending doom. One day, I'm going to share with you it's kind of like a testimony. And the other day, I got a phone call out of the blue. It blew me away. A family came to see me probably 15 years ago. It could have been more than 15 years ago. The young man was about to get married. The Holy Spirit spoke that day, and a word was given to this young man that he should not go ahead with this marriage because it is going to be a disaster. Now, you know what? I don't want to be funny, but that's a very harsh word to give, especially when the wedding plans are already going. So this young man was like, what you mean I can't get married? Yeah? Well, God says, this is not going to end well. This is not God's plan for your life. Now, the young man was there. His sister was there. I think there was three of them there. Of course, after that, he was sulking. He was like very upset, like, oh, this is not what he came here for. You know? I never heard nothing from them again until about 2 years ago. Out of the blue, I get a phone call. This lady phones me. She says, I'd like to speak to Prophet Rian. I said, no, he's not here. She says, are you not Rian? I said, yeah, I'm Rian, but I'm not a prophet. I'm not a prophet. I'm just a man of God. I tried to do my best. She says, my son came to see you so many years ago. I say, really? Yeah, this and this and this was the circumstance. And when she started talking, I immediately knew who this was. She says to me, we have a problem. I say, what? Well, it turns out he married a Jezebel. And she has totally destroyed his life. Guess what? God knew that. And God knew that this wedding was never going to end up good. She says, okay, now they married, they got two children. There's nothing left of her son. They don't even know who he is. She's changed him completely. He is suicidal. He is manically depressed. He is antisocial. He is nothing that he used to be. Why did God give that word that day? The Holy Spirit spoke. Listen to me. I didn't know him. I didn't know his girlfriend or his fiance. God gave a word. But the Holy Spirit knew. Now you see, when the Holy Spirit speaks, we have a choice what we're going to do. We're either going to accept it or reject it. Do you know what I said to the woman? I said, there's not much that you can do. Because right now her son, even though he's stuck in that situation, he doesn't want to leave the marriage. He shouldn't have been in it in the first place. God warned him. But unfortunately, you also can't say God didn't warn me because he was warned. And they all felt it was very unfair that God, what you mean? God doesn't want me to get married. No, God has good plans for your future. And God also knows whether the road you choose leads to the blessing or to the curse, leads to life or leads to death. Doesn't the Bible itself teach us there is a road that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto death? In the end, I prayed with the mother over the phone. And I said to her, start praying for your son. It's not like God still can't do something. You know, for God, nothing is impossible, but that marriage is just never going to work. Okay, so the Holy Spirit has all the attributes, speech, thought, feelings, which is necessary for us to therefore classify him as a person. All right, so we have another person in the room here with us today. Just because you can't see him doesn't mean that he's not real, because we know that he is. He's called the Holy Spirit. He's here. He's with us today. He's listening to these things and he's thinking, wow, I'm so glad Rian is putting the record straight. Amen. Because these are the things we need to know about the Holy Spirit. You can offend the Holy Spirit. You can upset the Holy Spirit. And sometimes when you've upset the Holy Spirit, you're probably going to get a hiding as well. Never a good thing to be in that place. So, this thing brings to me a very important point. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity. When we talk about the Trinity, there's the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, okay? The Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity who is sent to aid us, to help us, and to equip us. Jesus, yes, we say he lives in our heart, but we also know that Jesus ascended to heaven. And Jesus said, I must ascend to heaven so that the promise of God can come to you. Amen? The Holy Spirit will not do anything Jesus doesn't want him to do. But the one helping you right now is the Holy Spirit of God. Yes, Jesus comes into my life, but he sends the Holy Spirit to be my teacher, to be my guide, to be my helper. If I don't understand that, if I don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit's role in my life, how on earth am I going to get somewhere in spiritual things and in life in general? Amen? How many difficult decisions do you have to make? I know where you work, quite a few, eh? And so do you. And so do you. So what does he do? He comes to help us. He's called the helper. You know, even when you're alone, you're never alone. If you understand the Bible, there's somebody there helping you at all times. The question is, do you acknowledge him? Do you even realize that he is there? Do you put faith in his help? Do you trust in what he brings to you? No, most of the times we don't even know that he's there. That's why this is important. We need to know and we need to understand this. The Holy Spirit is real. He's a real person and he's real in your life. When you don't acknowledge a person's presence or accept that person, you're probably going to offend them and you won't get very far. There's a little joke that I've heard told. It was a Sunday service and little Amy is missing. After the service, her mom starts looking for her. She can't find her anywhere. She goes and speaks to her husband. No, he hasn't seen her either. So frantically, they start running up and down looking for her. They're in the toilets. They're in the kitchen. They're in the main hall. They're in the children's hall. They can't find her nowhere. Panic, 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 panic. Nobody can find her. They got the whole church mobilized. They look. They go everywhere. They're all over the grounds of the church. They can't find her nowhere. Eventually, somebody remembers there's a basement. They go down into the basement. Lo and behold, there's little Amy sitting in the basement. So now her mother's kind of upset on the one hand and very relieved on the other hand that she's at least safe. She says, Amy, what are you doing here? She says, Mommy, I'm looking for the Holy Ghost. The mom says, why are you looking for him? Yeah, but Mommy, he's a ghost, isn't he? You see, by her reasoning, the ghost must be found in the basement. No, the Holy Ghost will not be found in the basement. The Holy Ghost is found in your life. He's where we are and where we are needed. Unfortunately, many grown-ups are no better than this girl. They may confess the Holy Spirit now and then, but they've never really met him, and they definitely don't know him. The Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Truth. John 16, verse 12 to 14. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now hear. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Look at your neighbor and say, he will guide you. The Holy Spirit is like a supernatural GPS. He knows how to get you from where you are now to where God wants you to be tomorrow. But you have to have that GPS. It must be switched on and you must listen to it. Amen? He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. Did you hear that? He will tell you what is yet to come. A lot of people go to fortune tellers. A lot of people go to spiritists. A lot of people want to figure out what the stars have to say. I want to tell you what they have to say. They have lies. They have lies to share because, listen to me very carefully, only one person knows the truth of your future. It's God. And the only way that he will ever reveal it to you is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not going to speak to you through the stars. The Holy Spirit's not going to speak to you through your teacup and your tea leaves. The Holy Spirit's not going to speak to you through dangling a ring over your palm of your hand, like, you know, ding, 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 a pendulum. The Holy Spirit is not going to speak to you through a crystal ball. The Holy Spirit is not going to speak to you through your dead grandmother. She's dead, God bless her soul, for a reason. God called her home. She can't come back and talk to you. But there are evil spirits that love to use that medium, and they have a lot to say. And if you open your ears to them, I want to tell you something. They're going to do one specific thing. Make sure that you're never on the right path. They will, where the Spirit of God will guide you in all truth, the devil will guide you in every lie. Satan is incapable of speaking the truth. John chapter 8 verse 44 says, "You are children of your father, the devil. He abides not in the truth because there is no truth in him." Now, if Satan is incapable of speaking the truth, why would we go and knock on his door and say, "What does tomorrow hold for me? Ooh, you're going to win a lot of money." Liar. He just wants you to listen, because the more you listen, the bigger you open the door for him to come in. Every time you mess with stuff like that, you open the door bigger and bigger and bigger, and more drama comes into your life. Eventually, your life gets destroyed. I have shared this, but I'll share it again. Many years ago, I prayed for a gentleman. He had asthma. He was actually in hospital. I was asked to pray for him in hospital. I couldn't because I was preaching somewhere else. When I came back, the family had asked, so I went to see him at his house. He had just recovered from a very, very bad asthma attack. He'd been in hospital for quite a couple of weeks. And now the expectation is the pastor must come and lay hands on him and bless his lungs and, you know, pray healing over him and, you know, have a cup of cook and tea and there we go. But you see, it doesn't work that way, because sometimes you have to talk a little bit about what's going on in the person's life to understand what spiritual problems they have. Have you ever heard of baggage? Okay. Sometimes when we say that one has a lot of baggage, it's just a nice way of saying that one's full of devils. Because a lot of the baggage that people have are demons that have come into their life. Okay. And sometimes this baggage can make you sick. Demons are brilliant at making people sick. That's their job. They know how to do it. So the gentleman was also expecting me to come and lay hands on him and pray for him, and then just everything is fine. But I said to him, I prayed for him at church a couple of times. And he said to me, every time I pray for him at church, he feels better for a while, but then it's like it comes back. I said, if it's coming back like that, it's probably a curse. The Bible says, a curse without a cause shall not come to light. Now, most of us, when we read that in the book of Proverbs 26 verse 2, we just read, a curse without a cause shall not come. In other words, it's not going to come. But the Bible says without cause. What happens if something in your life has given it cause? Then the curse will come. Come on. The way it's worded tells us two things can happen. If you don't open a door for a curse, it can't come. But if you do open the door for a curse, it will come. How many people are sitting in church today? They are cursed fraught. Plenty. Ask me, I've prayed for many of them. So I said to him, I have a feeling that you got a curse in your life. Of course, he was a religious person, so he got very offended. How dare I tell him that he's got devils? Sir, you the one that's sick, not me. It's your infirmity that keeps coming back, not mine. And if God heals you, but it comes back, and he heals you and it comes back, it tells you that there is something wrong. Then we have to ask the question, what is wrong? I asked him a couple of questions. Amongst others, I asked him if he ever tried to conjure up spirits or, you know, had any involvement in spiritism or anything like that. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, there was something, but it was many years ago. That's the standard answer most people give me. It was so long ago, it's no longer relevant. Explain that to the devil that's been in your life since 1965. He's been very busy. He's probably the reason why your life goes nowhere. I said, okay, tell me what happened. No, they were just out of high school. They went down to Durban, him and a bunch of friends. They were going to go and have a good time. And they'd been smoking a couple of things, you know. Yeah, some happy things. And they were heavy into music. And back then, Jimi Hendrix was all the rage, but he'd also passed away. So one night after being all smoked up and, you know, like a pickled and what, they had this thing, they're going to summon the spirit of Jimi Hendrix. They're going to conjure up the spirit of Jimi Hendrix. They have a couple of questions they want to ask him, which they then did. Somebody told them that if they... They played glassy, glassy. Guess what happened? The glass began to move. Jimi Hendrix said hello. Everybody was well chuffed. And Jimi Hendrix told them that he wants to reveal himself to them. And he told them that they must go and stand in front of the mirror at exactly 12 o'clock. And then he would appear to them in the mirror. Hey, celebration. Skink nog 'n dop. Jimmy kon kuier, you know. So 12 o'clock at night, they all pickled, they all stoned, whatever. They're standing in front of the mirror. And as they stand in front of the mirror, the next moment the mirror shatters in a million pieces. Apparently there was some apparition that appeared and then it shattered. I tell you what, they did not need laxatives. It came naturally. They did need clean underwear. They ran out of that house. The holiday was cut short. Everybody came home to Joburg. But you know what happened? A door had opened just big enough for a spirit of infirmity to attach to this man. Do you know when I prayed with him to renounce what they did and to renounce the spirit that they had conjured or summoned, he immediately had an asthma attack. Is that normal? Then what does that tell you? The spirit that came into him that night brought the asthma into him. And the moment he prayed against that spirit and renounced that spirit, it manifested what it did. He immediately had an asthma attack. Everybody started panicking. Oh, phone the doctor. I said, no, calm down. It's a demon. It'll come out now. It did. Guess what? No more asthma attacks. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. Satan is a liar. Satan still lies to many people. He lies to them through false religions. He lies to them through things like stargazing, astrology, spirits talking, mumbling, all sorts of stuff like that. One has to be very careful. You want to know the truth? It's here. Bother to read it and you will find it. And the only spirit you should be listening to is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Okay. The Holy Spirit is also called... No, I want to say something else. The Holy Spirit always speaks and reveals the truth in people's lives. The Holy Spirit hates lies. God cannot stand lies. We know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira because they lied. They were struck with death. That's a severe consequence. God has no time for lies. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Sometimes we have this attitude, it's just a little white lie. You must explain that to two people who know exactly what you're talking about. One is God and the other one is the demon that's coming closer and closer and closer because you keep on lying. Because that's something that'll open a door. Stick to the truth, you got no problem. Okay? Okay. One of the quickest ways to grieve the Holy Spirit is to lie or to be false. You know, I don't have to tell you about false people because I'm sure you know quite a few of them. But it's also the same as lying. You know, when you really can't stand me, but when you see me, you're like, oh, hi, Rion, you know. But when I walk away, you're like, oh, he's such a, you know, false. Guess what? God sees right through that. God knows what's truth and God knows what's lie. Be truthful. Don't be a hypocrite. On the other hand, God will surely bless a person of truth and honesty. Hulle sê mos die waarheid maak seer. And that's true. But it's only the truth that will set you free. And sometimes we need to hear the truth, whether we like it or not. You know, what is the purpose of preaching? It is to reveal God's word in truth to you. Are you going to like everything I preach? No, I'm sure you're not. But you still got to hear it. Amen? Why? Because when you receive it and you humble yourself, it brings change and the blessing of God into your life. Amen? And that's necessary. The more we preach the full truth, the greater the presence of God in the church. I want to tell you something. Why did I call it the full truth, because unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that only preach this much of the truth. Because when I preach about that, I'm going to step on toes. When I preach about that, I'm going to step on toes. When I preach about this, people are going to leave and there will be no more tithes and offerings. Let's make one thing very clear. The provider in this ministry is God. It's not you, it's not your bank account, it's not your boss, it's God. When God wants to reveal truth, truth has to come. Whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, it's immaterial. We are called to preach the truth. God's word says to me, because I am in leadership, the judgment upon my life will be much more severe than the judgment upon your life. So guess what? I have to get with the program and do what God expects me to do. And the fact that you don't like me is not going to give me sleepless nights. When God doesn't like me, that will give me sleepless nights. I'd rather be in God's good books than in your good books. Amen. And I hope you don't have a problem with me, but if you do, come and talk to me afterwards. Amen. That is why some churches will always battle. You cannot just preach what people want to hear. It's the stuff you don't want to hear that God really wants to talk to you about. Amen? And you gotta hear it. We have to preach the truth, the full truth. It's necessary. The Holy Spirit is also called the Comforter. John 14 verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Who's the teacher here today? It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit. But he's preaching what God wants us to hear. The Holy Spirit comforts us, encourages us, gives us joy and peace whenever we go through difficult times. How many times has it happened to you? Just a question. You're really having a bad time. Everything is wrong. Everything at work is wrong. Your marriage is not in a good place. Your children are giving you a hard time. Even the dog bit your toe. You know, it's like really, really bad. But then you come to church and the power of God is there. And something happens, whether it be a word from somebody or the message or something in the message. Or maybe afterwards there's prayer and something touches you and you walk out of that church. It's like that week never happened. Who did you experience? The Comforter. The Comforter is in the church. You know, somebody said to me the other day, sorry, maybe this is just my time to talk about these things, but somebody said to me the other day, they don't have to come to church because God can teach them anything and anywhere and what. I want to tell you something. Kanye Lipeli is. That's nonsense. Because I want to tell you something. When you come to an assembly of believers, the Bible says, do not neglect the gathering of the faithful. Do not neglect the service of God. And a lot of people do that. And they have this thing, oh, you know what? If God wants to talk to me, he can talk to me anyway. Yes, I'm sure he can. But there are other things that God wants. God sometimes wants you to experience his presence, his power. When you come to a church service on a Sunday, there's a specific anointing. We call it a corporate anointing to give breakthrough in certain areas, to build up, to strengthen, to empower. Sometimes there is an anointing to set the captives free. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do something. He's anointed him to set the captives free. He's anointed him to heal the brokenhearted. The anointing has a purpose. When you sit at home, you don't have that same anointing. You can't experience the purpose of the anointing. Sometimes God wants to bring comfort. That comfort might come through the words of a stranger that at that moment is a vessel that the Holy Spirit speaks through. And the moment those words come, it touches your heart. You leave the church feeling completely different. You're like, wow. It feels like that heaviness is lifted. You met the Comforter. Do not neglect the assembly of believers. Everybody needs to go to church. I can't tell you what church to go to. You know, I've got some people listening here online. I can't tell you what church to go to, but find one that speaks to you. Find one that feeds you. We're all different. You know, some people might not like the way I preach. Some people might not like the stuff that I preach. Well, go find something that speaks to you. Just make sure it's still the Spirit of God speaking. Amen? But you gotta be filled. Our spirits become weak. What happens when you take one coal out of the fire? If I take one coal out of the fire and I put it on its own, it'll burn out like that. But if I keep it in the fire, the rest of the coals keep it hot, it burns so much longer. These things are spiritual truths that we should apply. Yes, and it's about unity. I showed something the other day. I want to show it again, just quickly. How much time have I got left? 10 minutes, that's enough. Who can I ask to come forward? Can I use you? It's the last time I can use him. He's deserting us today. He's going to England. You better pray for the English. Oh my goodness. It's rude. This is our South African Mr. Bean. He's going to go visit his cousin on that side, on the other side of the pond. Yep. Okay. Mr. Bean, take a swing at my hand. Don't hit me now, please. I have medical aid, but I don't want to use it. No, hit me. I just told him not to hit my hand. You see what I have to deal with all the time. Okay, I want you to hit me that way. Okay, don't actually hit me. You know, it's fragile. Okay, now, take a step back. Do it as if you want to hit a knockout. You're not going to knock out nothing like that. Come on, swing it. But swing, hit. Okay, well, at least that was a little bit better. What did you notice? If he really wants to hit hard, he uses his whole body. I know with him it was a bit difficult to see, but just use your imaginations, you know. If you really want to hit hard, you know, you have to use your entire body. Well, that's where the body of Christ comes. There are some devils you can't conquer on your own. You need to be screwed into the body. Eh? Because doesn't the word of God says one is the pinky and one is the hand and one is the elbow and one is the shoulder? We all become a body. When you're part of the body and you begin to pray, the power of the body is there. Bah! You can actually begin to do some damage. When you're on your own, you're like, what am I going to do now? Nothing. Thank you. God bless you. It's important. You got to be part of a body. And that's why unity in the body is important, because when he suddenly doesn't want to be part of the body and he's the shoulder, then from the shoulder down, everything is not working anymore. We're like, have you ever slept on your hand or your arm and then it goes dead? And then you wake up and you're trying to, and then it's like, you know, that's kind of what's going to happen. That's why it's important that in the church we have unity. We have each other's back. Leon, I have your back. Amen. Sandy, I have your back. Amen. I hope you have mine. We have to have each other's backs. We have to support each other. Somebody has a problem, their problem is kind of like my problem. We pray with them through it. We help them through it. We support one another. The Bible says when two walk down a road and one falls, the other one is there to pick him up. But woe unto the one who falls alone. Because there's nobody to pick you up. The devil likes to say things like, oh, you don't need to go to church. You got your Bible. God can talk to you. Because the devil knows tomorrow when he puts you in a pit, there's nobody to help you out. Don't fall for his tricks. He's too clever. The Holy Spirit brings conviction of sin. Eddie, I'm almost finished. 5 minutes, eh? John 16 verse 8, when he comes, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, the essence of the gospel is man's separation from God because of sin, which means the sin in us push us away from God. We want to be where God is, but the sin in us brings separation between us and God. And when we get the conviction of sin and we understand that it's a problem and we trust God for forgiveness, it brings us back to God, which is very, very important. People will never see the need for a Savior unless they can first see that they are lost. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. When you go to an unbeliever and in the flesh you tell them, dry of braai, broer, you lost, you're going to hell, they immediately want to fight. They're not interested in that. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to them, the strongest oak in the world with muscles bulging up to ya is going to cry like a baby and ask God for forgiveness. You see, you cannot convict somebody of sin. Only the Holy Spirit can. Because your words come into his brain. The Holy Spirit's words come into his heart. You need to touch his heart. The Holy Spirit helps with that. Okay. The Holy Spirit guides us in all truth. John 16, verse 73. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. Who wrote this? The Holy Spirit of God. How did he do it? He entered individuals, and he wrote the word of God through them. The knowledge contained here comes from him, not from the person. I said to you earlier on that they were talking about the Holy Spirit spoke, but I can tell you now the Holy Spirit spoke through a man, but it wasn't the man speaking. It was the Spirit of God speaking through the man at that point in time. So, therefore, the Holy Spirit alone is capable of giving us insight and understanding about the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is amazing because it is alive. This is called the living Word of God. God has blessed me many times through the same scripture in different circumstances. Because sometimes I'm in a bad place and that word gives me hope. Sometimes I'm in a completely different place and that word gives me direction. Because the Holy Spirit makes the word come alive. Amen. Without the Holy Spirit, you're reading a history book. History teaches man nothing. They say history is doomed to repeat itself. But when the living Word of God speaks to you, it changes your life. If we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us, He will reveal to us many truths from God's Word that will change your life. Okay, I still have other things to share, but my time is up, so for today, I'm just going to call it quits there. Did anybody learn something about the Holy Spirit? Do you understand? Yes, give the Lord a big hand, please. Do you understand why the Holy Spirit has to be real in your life? He's a person and you have to have a relationship with Him. Like you have a relationship with your wife, like you have a relationship with your children, you have to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Can you speak to Him? Yes, you should, because He's a person. Acknowledge His presence. Ask Him for help. Isn't He called the Helper? Yes. So ask Him for help. When you are weak, ask Him to give you strength. When you need wisdom, ask Him to give you wisdom. Guess what? You might be very surprised at what comes out of your mouth. You're going to sit there thinking, where did I come up with that stuff? You didn't. He did it through you. Amen.